It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Throughout its history, Beloit College has been represented by a variety of mascots and nicknames, with the Buccaneer arriving on the scene in 1949. Now, athletics teams at this liberal arts college on the southern border of Wisconsin have a new logo to rally around. For the first time since the late 1970s, Beloit College has sent its rakish, swashbuckling pirate into the sunset. The old logo depicted a winking pirate wearing a plumed hat with a dagger in his teeth. The new pirate features a smirking skull wearing the tricorn pirate hat, a bandana, and a turtle shell earring. Aha! More on that in a moment. So what does it take to overhaul your school mascot? Karen Shadeen guided the process of the logo overhaul as Beloit College's Vice President of Enrollment, Marketing, and Athletics, and joins us now. Karen, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, thank you for having me.
You've described that this new logo evokes Beloit traits like courage and adventurousness. What do you see when you look at the new logo design?
Well, you know, looking at the new logo's design, I'd be remiss in not saying it's the first new logo design since the 70s. So it's been nearly 50 years of what we're now affectionately referring to as the vintage Buccaneer. And so seeing a new athletic logo that's contemporary in its art design and really focused on the athletes of today is really exciting to me.
Can you talk about the process of changing the logo now compared to like the late 70s when the athletic director just kind of picked a piece of art out of a catalog and that was that?
Yeah, it's so funny because that's exactly what happened and probably what very many did back in the day, I suppose. The process was interesting. There have been other periods of time for the college when there was discussion about changing it, but not execution. So we knew we had an opportunity. We had the time. I suppose I decided I had the intestinal fortitude to be willing to withstand whatever the result was after the fact, because you always know there'll be people who love it, people who really don't have an opinion, and plenty of people who really object to change. So part of the process was making sure that we had a company that we felt really good about working with. And we picked Chutzpah, who's out of California, sisters who have this small boutique company. But small boutique company aside, they work with some really big clients. So they've worked with Disney, Netflix, professional teams like Kansas City Chiefs and the Lakers. So we felt like we were in good hands.
So the college's official mascot is the Buccaneer, but the campus also has this really strong affinity with turtles. can you talk about that inspiration and where that comes from?
The Buccaneers was voted on by students back in 1949. They were at a basketball game and there was a vote to choose a mascot for the institution. And there were many options, but Buccaneers sort of came out of nowhere. And that was how it came to be. So since 1949, we've been the Buccaneers. And you mentioned the turtle. And what's interesting about the turtle is there's strong affinity with a population of students who've come through Beloit over the years around turtles. Now, we have burial mounds, ancient burial mounds on the campus of Beloit in Wisconsin, and they sort of look like turtle backs. There's also Turtle Creek and some other references. So exactly how the turtle affinity on campus came to be, I'm not sure I'll exactly know that history, but it is fondly considered. And for a long time, the students who didn't see themselves as Buccaneers perhaps saw themselves as turtles, but not all. So it was important to us to as we move forward, 2025 and beyond, to say, how do we invite the turtle population or affinity into the new Buccaneer design, as well as have all our students see themselves as Buccaneers? So if you notice in our new logo, the Buccaneer is wearing an earring.
Yes.
And the earring is a nod to the turtle. It's sort of the, if you know, you know, that it's drawn to look like a turtle shell. And if you have no connection to the institution or turtles or knowing anything about it, you'd probably just see a gem.
Did your committee come up with that idea, or did that come from the design company?
We asked the designers for some sort of Easter egg to make it a component of the design so that the students who aren't athletes or never saw themselves as sort of belonging to that part of the institution would feel welcome and as if they belong.
How has the logo been received so far? I mean, it's early on. What have you been hearing from the campus community?
You know, so far on campus, it's by and large been very supportive. We rolled this out in pieces over a period of months, really before the public ever saw it. And, you know, we talked about why we did it, what we were looking to gain from the process, and inclusion for everyone really was part of the process. And goals for it really were that our athletes in particular, whether they're male or female, women or men, would see themselves in the new logo. And we were looking for something that embraced everyone, that perhaps it lacks gender or ethnicity or identity, really, in that we all have a skeleton underneath it all. We're all the same. And so that was really a big objective for us. And as we tell that story and reveal it on campus, and it was exciting to see people be excited about something new. But what's interesting is, and I don't know if this has been noticed, but we added a fourth color, which might seem really insignificant, but it's a light blue of sorts. And the college community has been as excited about adding a color as anything else.
Did that surprise you?
It really did. I couldn't, you know, I know that the teams like to have an alternate jersey for certain events and opportunities. That's been a trend over a period of time now. And by adding something in, they're able to do that. And people like to buy merchandise, as you know, and have options. So we went with, however one describes it, it's like a Carolina blue. Nike, I believe, calls it Valor blue. But it's striking and people are enjoying it.
Okay, so then how do you go about, you know, replacing all those logos out there in local land and all the merchandise and then all the stuff around campus? What is that like?
No, that is quite an expensive proposition, isn't it? You know, so the banners that hang in Flood Arena inside the Sports Center won't change. They have the vintage Buccaneer on them, and they will stay as such. Any new ones we produce will be produced with the new Buccaneer. Signs around campus and on our fields, any place where we can finish taking care of that this summer, we will. And some places will take a little longer, you know, places that it's perhaps painted on walls and we need to order new wall graphics. So we're doing it in pieces. I don't think you'll see a universal complete upgrade all at once.
Karen, thank you so much for taking the time. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That is Karen Shadeen, Vice President of Enrollment, Marketing, and Athletics at Beloit College. We've been talking about the new logo design for the Beloit Buccaneers. Now, what goes into designing a logo that will capture the eye, that will tell a story and connect with fans? Companies and artists work on countless logos for various brands and organizations all over the world, including here in Wisconsin. Scott Starr is founder of RevPop. That's a creative agency in Milwaukee. Scott, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
So in the late 70s, Beloit picks a winking pirate logo out of an art catalog. From an industry perspective, how has logo design changed over the decades?
Wow. So I had a deep dive into what Beloit did to see, you know, where they're going. And I have a little experience with sports identities, more recently working with the Brewers and their minor league team that we branded recently. You know, it hasn't changed much. I think it's the tools that have changed, right? And the accessibility for those, you know, that might be just starting out making logos, or maybe you're not a designer and you're able to open up a program on your computer and just kind of whip up some type. And even now with AI, you know, you can just ask ChatGPT to make you a logo. And I think it's become easier to get from point A to Z. But I think the process and the ideation of storytelling, you know, visual storytelling hasn't changed much. But I think the process has gotten easier, right? I think that, you know, the difference is being there are a lot more designers out there that make logos. I think that there is a heavy distinction between branding and brand identity that some folks don't quite understand.
What's
the
difference?
Differences.
Yeah.
It's a weird topic because we still say branding a lot just because most people identify with branding as logo design. And logo design itself almost devalues what branding is. So, you know, generally speaking, not that we don't take on logo projects per se, but we're very much more into branding projects where you're thinking about the story and you're asking the questions and you're diving into the mission and the vision.
Yeah. And, you know, you've worked with big brands like BMW or Snickers or locally the Brewers. Is there a difference between national or international branding versus local work that might be much closer to home?
More people, right? So I think that the reason I got out of my work in the larger agency this 20 years ago when I was working for a large agency in Chicago. And I think that working with brands like Snickers, working with M&M's, BMW, Lexus, there are more hands in the bucket. There are more folks that are touching things, passing things around. The creative spark tends to get lost. Things tend to turn out to be either vanilla or a remake of something that's already been done in the past because it was considered successful and/or the stats show that going down this path leads to something less risky. I think when you're working on a low, and you know, the reason why I started Rev Pop and came back to Milwaukee in 2006, there was an opportunity to work with restaurants, smaller companies, startups. We didn't have very many small design agencies back then. And it was a big fish in a small pond kind of thing where I was able to take that big agency idea and bring it down into a smaller area where I could work one-on-one with owners and do what I was doing for large agencies, but bring it down to small business and handle everything from logos to websites, photo, video, everything kind of one-stop shop. And when you're working with a sole ownership, you're working with somebody with passion, with somebody that's got a vision, or, you know, they're more likely to trust you rather than take it and pass the baton and have a whole lot of people touching one thing. And then it becomes vanilla and convoluted. The story gets lost in muddied waters, right? So I think the difference for me is how working with a smaller group of people with a vision rather than a bigger brand that has either way too much behind it, way too many people working behind it, a lot more risk involved, people less likely to take risks. So I think that's what drew me to working, I think, more on a local platform.
So Scott's hot take here, favorite logo and why?
You know what? I mean, I think, and I'm not saying this because, you know, it's a client, but I had that aha moment maybe like 6-7 years ago when I looked at the Brewers logo and I saw the MB. And that was, wearing a Brewers hat when I was a kid and then realizing that there was an M and a B in the glove was, that was the pivotal, like, wow, okay. That just took me to a whole new level. So I think that's like, one of those identities that, you know, you strive for is to create something that's memorable, simple, However, there's something behind it that might not be obvious or on the nose that tells a little bit of the story without, you know, being blatant or in your face.
Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
For sure. Loved it. And thank you for having me.
Scott Starr is founder of the creative agency RevPop in Milwaukee. We've been talking about the art and science of logo design. And earlier we heard from Beloit College Vice President Karen Shadeen about the school's new athletic logo after over 45 years of a winking pirate with a dagger in its mouth. The Buccaneers have a new pirate on the scene.